Merkle Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Odyssey, Band.video, or you are listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate your amazing support. The show is number 2 in America, number 1 in Canada, number 4 in Australia. I don't know how it's happening. I'm appreciative. You can go to Chartable and look. It's crazy how it works. I have no idea why people in Nigeria are listening to this show, but we're big in Nigeria. I'll take it. Thank you, everybody there. I appreciate it. Listen, if you are interested in getting yourself ready for what is more than likely coming, I would suggest talking to the people over at My Patriot Supply. They've been nice enough to build a landing page for us called www.preparewithmacroaggressions.com. The link will be in the show notes. And I'll tell you what, take advantage of it. It's relatively calm now. I mean, it feels crazy a bit, but it's going to get worse, unfortunately. And there's something very valuable about knowing that you're taken care of. It's hard to measure that, but you know it when you feel it. If you've got food, if you've got other options, if you've got water, if you've got your money out of the bank, you know, a little bit of money out of the bank or a little bit in gold and silver and things like that, you just feel like you're less impacted by the insanity. And I think that's what we're going for. We're all going to be impacted. So I'll tell you what, I've been preaching about this for a long, long time. If you've been listening or watching the show for any extended period of time, you know that I really just want people to get prepared. I've got a sponsor for you. If you want to go that route, please do. If you want to do it your own way, please do. I really just want to make sure that everybody's taken care of. So if you want to get yourself a 3-month supply of food in like 10 minutes and have that sorted out, you can go to preparewithmacroaggressions.com. I'll tell you, they're having a deal right now. I don't know how long it'll last, but go over there and check it out. See if it's right for you. If it is, pull the trigger. Get everything sorted out for you. Family members that are maybe living out of state, maybe think you're a little unhinged, but you can just tell them, hey, I have a feeling about supply chain issues, whatever. Don't freak them out, but quietly hook them up if you're in a position to do that. If you're not, listen, buy yourself an extra 5-pound bag of rice every time you go to the store. You know, get yourself prepared. That's all I'm saying. If you want to use my supplier for that, go for it. They're great. They're reliable. It's free shipping. It's all that stuff. You'll wind up with 120 pounds of food in the 3-month supply. You'll be glad you have it. Comes in storable buckets. Really nice. Very, you know, well done. You can just put them someplace. That's all I'm saying. I've got mine. Do you have yours? Please. Hopefully you're taking care of yourself. Also to our newest sponsor, Solar Power Lifestyle. Ma'am, I tell you, we're going to do this episode is going to be about the energy crisis. We've got an energy crisis. There's no doubt about that. Okay. We're very dependent on the government for this stuff. That is a problem. If you have the ability to get yourself a little less dependent on the government in a variety of ways, but especially when it comes to energy, solar systems are a way to do that. Solar panels are things that you can install on your home. You can put it in your, on your like RV, camper, van, whatever. If you've got a work site that you need additional power for, we've got that. They've got everything that you need. So I'll tell you what, do this. Just if you're curious, go to solarpowerlifestyle.com. Use the promo code macro. If you find anything there, save yourself some money on that. They have free shipping. They have like a price match guarantee. If you buy something and then you find it cheaper somewhere else, you just say, hey, man, look, I found this somewhere else. They'll match the price. They have financing available if you're buying something like a bigger unit. Just take a look. Go over there and see what you think. It's a small business. We love that. It's family-run business. They love this show. We love that, of course. We're partial to that. So, look, just think about that stuff. They've got all the big brands, EcoFlow, Jackery, you know, all that stuff. So, give it a look. See what you think. Get yourself ready. SolarPowerLifestyle.com. Promo code MACRO on your way out. Save yourself some money. You're going to need it. We're all going to need it. We're getting into this really weird time, right? Where things seem a little normal, but you know that the wheels are about to fall off. I'll tell you how I know the wheels are about to fall off, because the wrong guy is driving the car. Joe Biden. I mean, Trump is like your crazy drunk uncle who's driving the car. You'll probably get there. It's like Uncle Buck, right? He's going to embarrass you in front of the school, but you're going to get there in one piece in his big beat up jalopy. You might pretend like you got out, you know, you might want to ask him to let you out a block before you get to your destination so you're not seen with him, but you know you're going to get there. Joe Biden driving the car? He's driving this car into a ditch. And he was just at, speaking of cars, he was just at like the auto show. You say, I'm a car guy. Really, you're a car guy? Well, if you're such a car guy, why are you fucking the entire car industry by switching them all to electric vehicles, forcing them to buy all new equipment, forcing them to remake cars in a totally new design, forcing them to sell batteries that they know are going to burn out in 4 years, and then having to resell them at ridiculous prices? You're a car guy? You like the car industry? Doesn't act like it. You're acting like you're fucking them. Because you are. And this comes from this Inflation Reduction Act, this colossal piece of shit that the Biden administration passed 51-50, mind you. It wasn't overwhelming support. You had half of the people voting on it going, no, we're not doing this. We're not interested in this. It just barely passed. That is a sign that, it could be a sign of a lot of things. It could be a sign of just infighting and like, you know, we're not going to pass anything Joe Biden wants. But still, if you're reasonable and you're realistic and you think, well, this could help my people, you know, could help my people back home, I'll vote on it because it'll be good for them. You'd vote on it. Maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. These people are scumbags anyway. But if I vote, I'd vote on it. If I were in there, if it was good for my people and it broke with my party, but it, you know, I'd say fine. It's good for my people. That'd be the bottom line. Not here though. They don't give a shit. They really don't care. This is three. So the Inflation Reduction Act is going to infuriate you for sure, but not surprise you, because this is to be expected. $369 billion in climate solutions and environmental justice. That's going to be one of the focal points of this episode. Environmental justice. Oh boy, they have taken their two favorite things and squished them together. The environment that they're very concerned about, you know, when they're not bombing the shit out of it and authorizing $1 trillion to the U.S. military to drop depleted uranium on Fallujah. But besides that, they really care about the environment. They've got the environment, and then you've got social justice. And what's better than squishing them together and getting environmental justice? Who are we going to put in charge of this? Pete Buttigieg and Kamala Harris? As a matter of fact, they're involved for sure. So you know it's stupid, and you know it's woke, and you know it's worthless. And if I have to listen to Kamala Harris try to explain to me cars, I think I will probably shoot myself. Okay. I've had it with her. She's explained to me space. She's explained to me time, which will really fuck you up. She's explained to a bunch of kids Mars. It's enough. I've had enough of her. She should explain to me how she got as many delegates as a dead guy. That's what she should really explain. If she was going to explain anything. Cackling hyena. Well, listen, let's talk about this. What do they want? What do they want? They say, we've got all this money. We've got damn near a third of $1 trillion set aside for this climate solutions, which I mean, just scams upon scams. But what do they want? They want a 40% reduction in emissions by the year 2030. I'm sure they just grabbed that number that year right out of their ass, right? Just 20. Well, let's just say 2030, you know, like the United Nations 2030. So they want 40% emission reductions by 2030. Last time I checked, that is 7 years, just a little over 7 years from now. They're not going to get it by traditional means. They may get it by killing everybody. That would most definitely be contribute to a 40% reduction in emissions. So maybe they know something we don't know. Maybe they know something we do know. If you listen to Where Did All the People Go episode, they may have this emission problem already sorted out. We are the carbon they seek to reduce, as they say. So, but I want to read this. This is from the website. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. HHS is dedicated to working with our private and public partners to provide an environment where all people enjoy the same degree of protection from environmental and health hazards and equal access to the decision-making process to maintain a healthy environment in which to live, learn, and work. Okay? Nothing inherently nefarious about that. They want an environment where people are protected from hazards. Okay, that's nice. Of course, not the government's job to protect me from hazards, unless it's the hazards they're creating, but whatever. I'll allow it. Okay, HHS recognizes that people of color, disadvantaged, vulnerable, low-income, marginalized, and indigenous people are disproportionately burdened by environmental hazards. But if you're white, too fucking bad. Enjoy cancer, you dumb honkies. Get what you deserve. It's payback for empire. Oh, really? So environmental hazards only happen to... No. It's not that they only happen to marginalized people. It's that they only care if they happen to marginalized people. But there's no longer... If you are a white person and you are experiencing... if you were burdened by environmental hazards, too bad. Too bad, whitey. You should have thought of that before you were white. We're talking about people of color here. We're only talking about people of color. I'm a person of color. My color is white. My color is almost clear, let's be honest. But I'm a person of color. Do I qualify for? No. No. How dare you? It goes on. These populations and communities are exposed to environmental threats that drive health disparities, are underserved, and are often surrounded by social inequalities. So let me get this straight. There's inequalities in society? How can that be? Doesn't everybody work the same amount? Have the same functioning brain, care about getting a good job, and aren't we all exactly the same? How could there possibly be anything unequal about this? Any inequalities besides the fact that, oh, I don't know, everybody's different. Everybody has different motivations. Everybody has different skill levels. They are trying to level the playing field to make everybody equal. The problem is when they do things like that, they make everybody equally screwed, not equally better. And they're talking about this as if there's not differences in work ethic or education levels or understanding of certain aspects of, I don't know, industries. acting like everybody should be an electrical engineer without, you know, going to school for it. Everybody's has to be, they want equal outcomes, not just equal opportunities. I've got news for you. That's not the way the world works. You can, now, look, to be crystal clear, I'm all in favor of everybody having an equal shot. I should be allowed to go try out for the Lakers if I want to, but I don't get put on the team just because I need to fill a diversity gap. I mean, I could, maybe. But no, it's about, are you good enough to make this team? Are you smart enough to get into this school? Are you qualified enough to have this job? I'm not qualified. This company is discriminating against me. You're not qualified for it. How dare you? I should have the opportunity as everybody else. Fine, but you're not qualified for it. So they want everybody to be equal. This is the scam of the loony left. They want equality. It's not possible. We're not equal. Everybody's different. I feel insane having to explain this to the universe, but apparently we have to. So let's go on. There's another thing. This is still from the website from the Health and Human Services. It says the combination of environmental risks and social inequalities creates a cumulative disproportionate impact that hinders optimal health and environmental justice for these populations. Let me explain reality to whoever is running HHS. It's not Catherine Sebelius anymore. She was a fucking disaster. But whoever is the dipshit running HHS, let me explain something to you about how the world works. Not everybody can afford the good food because not everybody makes enough money to buy the good food. You guys went and partnered with Monsanto and made fake food, okay? And made that available to the poors. So the poors eat the fake food. And they get sick because of that. And you're talking about optimal health and environmental justice for these populations. Are you going to order a drone strike on Monsanto anytime soon? Because anything short of that, I'm not interested. You're not going to have optimal health in the hood when the hood is eating GMO foods because you're pumping it into them. Now, I'll tell you something. I don't currently live in the hood, but for 4 years during college, I did. I lived in South Central Los Angeles, and the grocery stores that served those communities were disgusting. Okay. They were they were beyond what you would expect. They looked like grocery stores in Tijuana. They looked like stores that you would find in like ratty areas of Mexico. Inside the store, I saw a lady change. This is the last time I ever went to 3-2 Market. I saw a lady change her baby's diaper, her dirty baby's diaper, on the floor in the produce section of the grocery store. And I went, I'm good. I'm never coming back. All the cans that they sell are dented and everything. This is reality. Okay. So HHS is talking about how there's environmental justice. Listen, it's not always fair. Okay. So what are you going to do? You're going to throw money at this problem? You're just going to blindly throw money at it and say, we're making things fair for everybody? It works like this. You sell the products that the people in your community will buy. If the people in your community are economically disadvantaged, don't open a Ferrari dealership there. You'll go out of business. Okay. If you're opening a grocery store, you're going to sell lower quality foods in dented cans because you get them cheaper. You know why? Because your customers need to buy them cheaper. And that's why, and you fill that need. Okay. So the idea that the federal government is going to come in and put its thumb on the scale of inequality is laughable, considering they, in fact, create the situations for there to be inequality. They're talking about optimal health and environmental justice in the ghettos. Stop putting a disproportionate number of black people in prison on bullshit drug charges. Why don't we start there? What do you think that would do for environmental justice? Having people out of prison and actually back home where they belong and not doing 8 years for having crack in their pocket, you know? So, but don't worry, everybody, because they've figured out the problem. They're bringing in big tech to help fix this problem. I know you're all, your minds are set at ease with this one. So they're developing an environmental justice data strategy for identifying, tracking, and addressing environmental burdens and health inequities in disadvantaged communities. They're developing a two-way engagement to reach and partner with a wide range of stakeholders. Ding, 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 ding. Whenever you hear that term, stakeholders, that should send off alarm bells in your head. You should think two things: gigantic scam and BlackRock. Okay. As soon as you hear stakeholders, gigantic scam, BlackRock, that's who's involved in this. It's not shareholders, it's stakeholders. It's a different term. It's a bullshit term. And this is it's ESG, it's social credit, it's build back better, it's BlackRock, it's government fuckery, it's all those things. Okay. And it's a scam on top of that. So when there's a couple keywords, like if you know how to read, like if you know the buzzwords, you know, and the governments love these buzzwords, but if you know what they actually mean, when you read their documents or you go on their websites and you read what they say that this is going to do, you read, you know, what the Inflation Reduction Act is talking about, we're always getting better at understanding these terms, but you hear things like, obviously, climate change. When you hear climate change, total scam. Okay. When you hear stakeholder, scam. These are the things that you're going to, inequality, inequity, things like that. You know, these are words that don't exactly mean what we think they mean. I mean, what the normies are supposed to think it means. It means something different. You go, oh, stakeholders. We're all going to have a stake in this. It's like, not really. When you hear stakeholders, think of the guys that will be holding actual steaks and eating them while you eat the bugs. Okay. If that makes it any easier. So White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council. I'm going to say that again. They have developed this. You want to talk about buzzwords and scam words all over the place. Just this one sentence, the White House Environmental Justice Advisory Council. That ought to be a blast. So when they say that big tech is coming to help the disadvantaged communities, you know what I think? I think, oh, so they're installing 5G towers in the hood now? Is that what they're doing? Because that's what I think. That's immediately where I go. But let's go back. Let's go back to January 27th, 2021, when this decrepit old pedophile came into office after stealing the election, allegedly. Let's talk about what he did. One of the first things he did, the executive order. He came in right off the bat and started hammering down on oil and gas industry and started boosting all of the green tech that's not ready for its development. And I want to say something before that, the oil and gas industry is, you know, has been run by scumbags for a long, long time. And they've taken a lot of government money. It's a really weird relationship that we have with oil and gas. Like, we need them and they know we need them and the government knows we need them. So they can't shit on them too much. But the Biden administration is turning that around because they have decided that the oil and gas industry is public enemy number one. And to be fair, listen, I don't love the fact that there's repercussions from drilling for oil and gas. You know, there's toxic byproducts. I saw what Chevron did in the Amazon. Steve Donziger was involved in that big case. I don't know if you're familiar with who he is and what he did and how crooked that stuff got. But, you know, the oil industry has polluted. For sure they have. And that's not okay. And they need to be better about that. And they need to fix that. And we need to get to an actual clean energy, not this bullshit stuff that the Biden administration is talking about with electric cars and things like that. But we need to get to a place where we have free energy, which exists. And we know about all this stuff. But that being said, we are not ready for the green tech. We are not ready for the green energy revolution. You know, maybe if they plan this whole thing out. We'll be ready for it in 40 years. We're not ready for it now. They're trying to switch over to it all at once. They're trying to force this, and it's having catastrophic effects. Just ask Germany, right? So they're going to be in a bind. So this is what Joe Biden and his band of freaks did on their pretty much like their first day in office. The executive order clearly establishes climate considerations as an essential element of U.S. foreign policy and national security. So again, I want you to understand climate considerations, which we know are a scam. The Biden administration wants this to be an essential part of U.S. foreign policy and national security. So what does that mean? If you know about the electric car industry, then you know that a lot of the rare earth minerals come from China. You know that cobalt comes from the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is about to get invaded, more than likely, by the United States at some point. I think that's what they mean by making it an essential element of U.S. foreign policy and national security. It means go find the countries that have the resources that we need and do what you need to do to get them, right? It makes clear that both significant short-term global emission reductions and net zero global emission reductions by mid-century or before are required to avoid setting the world on a dangerous, potentially catastrophic climate trajectory. A lot of qualifying words in there. Potentially catastrophic. It's also potentially not catastrophic. Have we considered that? Net zero global emissions. This is another one of those buzzwords. When you hear net zero, just know you're not getting to net zero. You're not getting net zero COVID. You're not getting net zero oil. You're not getting net zero energy. You're not getting any of this stuff. You're not getting it. The only way you get net zero is if they wipe out all the people, which they definitely want to do. But this idea that by the mid-century, 2050, that we're going to be net zero on global emissions. Again, have we discussed this with the volcanoes? Are they on board with this? Because we've got carbon locked up in permafrost. We've got volcanoes going off left, right, and center. And always have. You have climate scientists saying that in terms of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere right now, we're at like one of the lowest period in the history of the planet. So again, it's a scam created by scammers that want to tax you to fix the planet. They want to change they want to modify your behavior, and they want to guilt you into this behavior modification by telling you that you're the problem, that if it wasn't for you, this whole world would be fixed. Now, they never offer any solutions. They never say we're going to go out there and like fix everything. They just tell you that you need to pay, you need to pay more because you're a bad person. It's a total scam. But again, let's keep going, because this is more from the White House, the day one, basically day one. They want to prioritize climate in U.S. foreign policy and national security. We mentioned that the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, is to work with the State Department to make climate change their big issue. Again, it's a scam. It's a con game. It's part of empire. But they want to use this as the pretext and have the Director of National Intelligence and the State Department work together to make this their big issue. So your big issue is a scam? Interesting. Your big issue couldn't be inflation, like actually reducing inflation? No. This introduces the establishment of the White House Office of Domestic Climate Policy, led by first ever National Climate Advisor and Deputy National Climate Advisor, creating a central office in the White House that puts Biden's domestic climate agenda into action. He's the green president. He's coming in and he's going to make everything green, except the problem is the infrastructure isn't there. The technology isn't there. The appetite for it isn't there. It's fitting. It's just like his administration that isn't there. It's just like the voters that aren't there. It's perfect. It's a policy that nobody wants. It also creates a national climate task force, assembling leaders from across 21 federal agencies. This is going to result in them kicking in doors to get the climate criminals. That's what this is. When you put together a national climate task force, and then you bring in 21 federal agencies to get involved in this, you're going to get the FBI kicking your door down because they heard that you bought too many steaks, or we got a report that you had a barbecue in your backyard on Saturday afternoon, and we've pulled the drone footage, and the FBI is here to talk to you about this. They said they have a warrant to search your house to look for anything that's contributing to climate change. I'm making this up, but am I really? Like, this is most definitely a direction it's going. We already see the FBI weaponized. So, giving them the justification to continue their reign of terror under the guise of saving the world from climate change. Oh, now you're not just protecting us from invisible terrorists that don't exist. Now you're saving the world. Great. This orders Secretary of Interior to stop gas leases on public lands. By the way, the lease number of leases operating on public lands in the United States since 1946, right now. We're in an energy crisis. Joe, it's me, Kamala. We're in a big energy crisis. The wheels are falling off. What do you think we should do? Well, I don't know, Kamala. Get off your knees for a second and let me explain to you how I'm going to end all of the gas leases on public lands. You know, take us back to like it was during World War II. I'm going to cancel all the leases in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm going to cancel the Keystone Pipeline. I'm going to sell our strategic petroleum to China and then buy it back from somebody else at $80 a barrel after Congress declined to buy it at $26 a barrel under Trump because they didn't want him to win. So the Secretary of Interior has stopped gas leases on public lands and offshore rigs, but simultaneously, they need to double offshore wind by 2030. Because that's been so successful in the UK. Wouldn't you agree, all you people in the UK that know about this? How much of your energy is coming from those offshore windmills that don't fucking work? He is ending fossil fuel subsidies, which I'm actually fine with, but he's creating new subsidies for green energy companies, like big tech. So instead of giving the money to ExxonMobil and these companies for oil and gas, he's going to give it to Solyndra like Obama did. Give them $1 billion and watch them build nothing. Pocket the money and most definitely put it in some Cayman Islands bank account for Obama and his husband. Goal of conserving 30% of our lands and oceans by 2030 and launches a process for, here we go again, stakeholder engagement from agricultural and forest landowners, fishermen, tribes, states to identify strategies that will result in broad participation. I hate it when politicians write stuff. It's just buzzwords and nonsense. Conserving 30% of our lands and oceans by 2030. What oceans do the United States own? What oceans? Where's the United States ocean? Because the president of the United States just said he's going to conserve 30% of our lands and oceans. Which oceans do we own? He's dumb. Okay, continuing. Establishment of a civilian climate core initiative to put a new generation of Americans to work conserving public lands, like forced labor camps, like forced work camps. Holy shit. No. See, listen here, fat, civilian climate core initiative. We're going to put a new generation of people to work. Doing what? Digging trenches? What the fuck are you talking about? Well, they're conserving public lands. Okay, again, how? You're going to mobilize an army of workers to conserve public lands? What does that mean? Are they going to build a huge wall? Maybe they should start by conserving some public lands along the Arizona, New Mexico, Texas borders, you know, where Mexico is. Wouldn't that be interesting? They could conserve those lands, you know, from people coming over. If you wanted to. I mean, you could even do something crazy, like you could build a wall if you wanted to. You could ask Steve Bannon to help with that when he gets out of jail. Establishment of interagency working group on coal and power plant communities and economic revitalization. God damn, they just love these long-winded words. Interagency working group on coal and power plant communities and economic revitalization, to be co-chaired by National Climate Advisor and Director of the National Economic Council. Let me explain something. We need coal or we're dead. Or let me rephrase that. We need coal or we're Germany this winter. We're not ready for wind. We're just not. I wish. Justice 40 Initiative has a goal of delivering 40% of the overall benefits of relevant federal investments to disadvantaged communities and track performance toward that goal through the establishment of an environmental justice scorecard, like a social credit system. An environmental justice scorecard. Do tell, what does this look like? What does this flaming pile of dog shit look like? A social credit system. Mm-hmm. And they also say that they need to invent a climate and environmental justice screening tool to identify disadvantaged communities. I can help you with two of them. Flint, Michigan still needs water, you know, like they did when Obama pretended to drink the glass of water from them. And what about Mississippi? They just don't have any water. You have a state that has no water right now. You have a city that hasn't had clean water in 20 years. The Biden administration wants to create a climate and environmental justice screening tool so that they can identify disadvantaged communities. You don't need a screening tool to identify disadvantaged communities. Just open your goddamn eyes. How about that? How about go out into the world? Go out into the country and look around. But it's full-blown clown world over at the HHS. I've got to read you something from them. It's pretty funny. It says, climate change poses current and increasing threats to human health. As the climate continues to warm, the risks to human health will grow, exacerbating existing health threats and creating new public health challenges. It's 100% lie. The total lie, start to finish. Climate change poses current increasing threats to human health. No, it doesn't. As climate continues to warm, the temperatures are going down, the risk to human health will grow, exacerbating health threats and creating new public health challenges. Like what? Please explain what these health challenges are. Take all the time you need. Tell me what the health challenges are of climate change. You know, you want to know what a potential health problem of climate change might be? It might be this. Summer, let's say, end of August, California. Heat wave. The governor of your state comes on television and tells everybody to turn their air conditionings off. Do you think that that might pose a public health challenge? Do you think we could have the environmental justice screening tool identify a disadvantaged community like the entire state of California? I mean, because Governor Newsom told everybody to turn their air conditionings off or they were going to blow up the power grid. Would you suggest that that might be
a threat to public health. These are man-made problems. These are government-sanctioned and created problems. It's not the sun. The sun is the sun. If you've ever seen, oh my God, there's an obscure Ben Stiller movie. Anyway, look, Health and Human Services is running a huge scam right now, with climate change being the main thing that they're using. It's a fear tactic. It's a justification of their budget. They're going to get a ton of money. Biden administration is handing out money left, right, and center to these organizations that all you have to do is say that you're involved in like climate change industry. You get whatever you want from these people, but it goes on. This is more from the HHS. The effects of climate change can worsen existing differences in health, adding to other longstanding differences among people that result in different health outcomes for communities in the United States. These differences include poor living conditions, racism, and other forms of discrimination and psychological stresses. So, oh my God. So this is breaking news. Climate change makes racism worse. I mean, I guess if you're out there sweating your ass off and you're hot, you probably hate everybody. Those fucking honkies, they're out here making me sweat. These differences include poor living conditions, racism, and other forms of discrimination. So climate change creates discrimination? Do tell. I'm all ears. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just not following your logic here. I'm having a hard time connecting. I'm usually pretty good at connecting dots, but I'm having a hard time understanding how climate change makes discrimination happen and racism worse. I'm going to need Kamala to explain to me racism. God, my brain would melt. The head of Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, John Balbus, went to Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. I know everybody is really shocked to hear that the guy in charge of the Office of Climate Change and Health Equity, we're all getting equity. Do you mean health equality? Health equity, like equity in my house? Like I have equity in my house? Do I have equity in my health? Oh, it means you have a stake in your health. Like a stakeholder, you mean? You fucking people. Okay, so according to HHS, these are the health impacts of climate change. And you will be exhausted from the mental gymnastics you will need to perform in order to come to their way of thinking about this. But these are, according to HHS, these are the health impacts of climate change. Okay, are you ready for this? Heat-related illness and death. Gavin Newsom, paging Gavin Newsom. Cardiovascular failure and disease. How? I'm going to have a heart attack because of climate change? Only if I'm on my second booster. Mental health impacts. Again, please explain to me how climate change is impacting mental health. I mean, I feel like I'm losing my mind just reading this stuff. So maybe there is a case to be made there. Asthma and allergies. Okay. If you are living in a polluted environment, that is not good for your lungs. Okay. If you've lived, I mean, I lived in LA for a long time and I've been to some polluted places around the world where it is definitely, you get the feeling that being here, you know, living in this hardcore urban jungle, maybe not the best place. Like I feel like I'm smoking a pack of cigarettes right now. That's called pollution and that's everywhere. Okay. Pollution, we've been on and on about this. Pollution, very real and a problem and something we should be concerned about. And we should be thinking about how we can, you know, change our behavior in order to make it less polluted. I'm on board with all that, but that's not climate change. That's what gets hijacked by these people, these climate change pushers. They say, because they know you're mad about pollution, rightly so. They know that you're sensitive to that and you should be. They hijack that and say, that's climate change. That's not climate change. That's pollution. They're running a different scam. They're just borrowing all the bad stuff from pollution that's real and impacts you. They're hijacking that and using that for their thing. So when they say, you know, asthma and allergies, this is health impacts of climate change. No, this is health impacts of pollution, not climate change. Let's get it straight here. Forced migration. Again, forced migration because of climate change? Because of rising sea levels? Oh, that's what they mean, right? Rising sea levels. That's going to create forced migration. Well, then why doesn't Joe Biden ask his former buddy, Barack Obama, why he just spent as much money as he did to buy himself a beach house at sea level? Are you familiar with Dan Pena? Dan Pena is a certified lunatic, but he's fun to watch. And he's, you know, he's this rich guy who lives in a castle, and he gives these presentations where he calls everybody the craziest shit in the world, tells everybody they're stupid. It's fun to watch. But if there's an interview with him where he's on a stage and he's with London Real, you know, Brian Rose. And some lady from the audience asks a question about climate change and how dare you talk poorly of climate change. And after about 2 minutes of Dan Pena just berating this woman and calling her every name in the book, he gets to his point, which is, listen, I'm an investor. I get these investment prospectuses all the time for real estate deals. He said, there's not an investment prospectus out there for a high-rise condo complex building in South Florida that ever mentions anything about rising sea levels due to climate change. Do you know why? Because they're not an issue. If they were an issue, no banks would lend on it. No insurance company would insure it. He says, I've never seen that in any of these prospectuses that I've seen, and I've seen a bunch of them, and I've invested in a bunch of shit. And so they're not going to lend, they're not going to build if they think that the oceans are going to rise 3 feet and nullify their investment. So again, Dan Pena is not, I mean, I like to get a little spicy from time to time, but not like Dan Pena. But he's right. He's 100% right. This is business. If these people thought there was a real possibility that within the lifespan of that loan that they're loaning to the developers to build this building, that they thought that the sea levels were going to rise and make this investment completely go to zero, they would never loan on that. Insurance companies would never insure that. And yet they do, and they are. Therefore, they know something we don't know, which is climate change is a bunch of horse shit. And if it were real, it would be reflected in their behavior. So keep that in mind. So they go on to say that, you know, forced migration is a health impact of climate change. Civil conflict because of people fighting in the Democratic Republic of Congo once the United States invades them to control the cobalt. I would imagine that would create a civil conflict. So I guess they're half right. Malnutrition. Whatever. Harmful algae blooms. Diarrheal diseases. Okay. These are the health impacts of climate change. Again, no, these are the health impacts of pollution. Civil conflict and forced migration, more a factor of the United Nations than of climate change, for sure. So the CDC also chimes in and they say that floods, wildfires, and food security are all issues. Well, but again, they're using this catch-all term, climate change. This is just the climate. This seasonal. Look, and let's also be crystal clear. We're manipulating the weather. We've been doing that since the Korean War. You know, we've been doing that. That technology is very real. It totally exists, and anybody that thinks that we don't manipulate the weather, well, we do, and we have, and it's not even a secret. And China admits that they manipulated the weather for the opening games of the Olympics, make sure it didn't rain on them. Probably not a bad idea. You can have it rain tomorrow. You pay a price when you do stuff like that, when you start messing with nature, there's an impact somewhere, but don't worry, everybody. because help is on the way. And by help, I mean the worst person. Well, maybe not the worst person in the world, but he might not be a starter on this team of worst people in the world, but he's definitely on the bench. And of course, I'm talking about John Podesta, scumbag extraordinaire, pedophile to the highest order, Obama's best friend, ran Hillary Clinton's campaign, definitely involved in buying all sorts of really fucked up art that shows kids getting tortured and tied up. And then he's got a, you know, you can go just search John Podesta and Tony Podesta's brother, search their art collection and look for the hanging sculpture that they have of the person that is bent into like a pretzel. That is the same thing that was done by Jeffrey Dahmer to one of his victims. That's the reason why the Podestas like this stuff. They're terrible people. Just type in Tony Podesta red shoes, go down that rabbit hole. So, former White House climate advisor during Obama's second term. Yeah. He's the Center for American Progress founder, that PAC, Political Action Committee, which does, he did such a good job of Hillary Clinton getting her elected as president. Oh, wait. Chief of staff under Clinton, chaired Hillary's campaign, member of the United Nations Secretary General's high-level panel of eminent persons, whatever that means, on the post-2015 development agenda. He's an eminent person. The United Nations said so. Well, if the United Nations said so, then we're fine, you know. So he is the one who is in charge of allocating Biden's $370 billion for the Green New Deal. What could possibly go wrong with a notorious pedophile in charge of that much money with ties to the Clintons and Obama's? Oh, God. He's a, you know, so senior advisor to the president for clean energy innovation and implementation through this scam called the Inflation Reduction Act. It doesn't reduce inflation. And you know it doesn't reduce inflation because it's named the Inflation Reduction Act. So you just invert whatever it does and whatever the title is. And that's how, you know, you get closer to their real thing. So how is he planning on spending this money? This is what they've got allocated. They've got $60 billion for maintaining clean energy manufacturing, $27 billion for emission reducing technologies like trees, but they're not going to spend it on trees, $40 billion to the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, for electronic vehicle tax credits, which is really funny. You know, they came out and Biden said, yeah, we're going to give you $7,500 tax credit towards buying an electric vehicle. And the very next day, the car manufacturing companies increased the price of their electric vehicles by $7,500. Because why wouldn't they? $20 billion for climate smart agricultural practices like crop rotation. That's what they said. I'm not fucking kidding. Okay. Crop rotation has been around since 6000 BC. Okay. The Biden administration is acting like they just discovered crop rotation. The sun is the sun. It's from The Heartbreak Kid, by the way. If you ever see that movie, it's fucking hysterical. I want to scream when I read these things about what they're doing with all this money. These are huge amounts of money. $20 billion, $20,000 million they're spending for crop rotation. I mean, I guess it's better than putting it all in a pile and lighting it on fire, but only slightly better. $35 billion for clean manufacturing tax credits, $35 billion for clean fuel tax credits, and $60 billion for environmental justice. We're going to get justice against that goddamn environment if it's the last thing we do. And let's not forget about this. $160 billion in clean energy tax credits. Now, John Podesta is going to be in charge of this. John Podesta it stands to reason, might be in charge of which companies get $160 billion worth of tax credits. That might be a, you might need to know John Podesta to get your company a huge tax credit. You might need to be like a friend of his. You guys, maybe you guys should, you know what you should do? If you're somebody that owns a company that is involved in the clean energy and wants some of this $160 billion in tax credits, you should invite John Podesta out to dinner. Talk to him about this. Maybe pick a place like, oh, I don't know, Comet Pizza, and go have a dinner with John Podesta and talk to him about how you think your company is a really good place to park some of this $160,000 million that the Biden administration is just handing out. And again, we're going to need to talk about green banks as well, because green banks are a thing. Banks that will lend to you or not lend to you based on your ESG score, based on how environmentally, socially, governancely you are doing things. I just know that if you are in charge of mining the cobalt in the Democratic Republic of Congo with your child slaves, that's got to take you down at least one point in your ESG score, right? Well, the Office of Climate Change and Health Equity was created on August 31st, 2021, so a little over a year ago. The purpose, here's the purpose. The Office of Climate Change and Health Equity addresses the impact of climate change scam on the health of the American people, exercising powers of convening, coordination, and collaboration. The office serves as a department-wide hub for climate change and health policy, programming, and analysis in pursuit of environmental justice and equitable health outcomes. The office also facilitates the use of regulatory and statutory powers of the Department of HHS to address matters affecting disadvantaged communities and people on the front lines of the climate crisis. Oh man, I just got back from the front lines of the climate crisis. Holy shit, it's a fucking war zone out there, man. Oh my God, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. What are they talking about? The front lines of the climate crisis? Stop. You're embarrassing yourselves. You sound like a bunch of morons. Look, there is no such thing as equitable health outcomes in the real world. Do you know why that is? Because no two people are alike. Some people don't care about their health. Some people eat Ding Dongs and Taco Bell and Mountain Dew, and they don't give a shit. And they never work out, and they never do anything. They never exercise or anything. I don't do all that stuff. I don't anymore, because I don't feel good when I eat Taco Bell and drink Mountain Dew. And if I don't exercise, I don't feel good. So I have recognized I feel better when I don't eat poisons and don't inject myself with poisons. And I don't, I work out and I do the things that make you feel better and consequentially are better for you. But they want equitable health outcomes. And I'm sorry. I'm not divvying up my health outcome with somebody that's not willing to do the work. You're on your own, pal. If you want to sit there and play video games all day and eat Doritos, that's fine. That's on you. But I don't owe you jack shit. I don't owe you part of my health in order for us to all be equal. There's no equality in this. This is personal responsibility and decision-making. You make the decisions on your own. If you want to get healthy, you can get healthy. It's up to you. If you don't, you don't. But the idea that the government is going to come in and make everybody equal, well, they might. They might make everybody equally fucked. You know, that is definitely a possibility, but they're not going to make everybody equally prosperous. You can't legislate that. Look, I think the real question is, where is this money going? Who benefits? Who's getting kickbacks? Who's in charge of it? Obviously, we know Podesta's in charge of it. You know, the idea of climate change is going to kill everyone. COVID is going to kill everyone. You know, these things, these are agendas. These are massive scams. The
that are fueled by, you know, unbelievable amount of money and effort, time, powerful are pushing this. It costs a lot to do this, to push a climate agenda. It costs a lot to run the COVID scam. They're pot committed, but there is an Achilles heel to both of these scams. And it comes from the most boring of things, but you can tell it's a scam by looking at the insurance companies. And when you look at COVID deaths or deaths that are happening and all of this, and you see this massive spike in deaths in 2021, the insurance companies are saying wasn't COVID. COVID didn't add additional deaths in 2020. Based on the previous years, it was just the same as the other years. But we saw a 40% spike in 2021. We see a 100% spike now, according to some insurance companies. And what they're saying is it's not COVID and it's not random. It's the shots. They expose it. And you know who else, and you know who exposes the climate change scam? The insurance companies as well. Because just like Dan Pena said, they wouldn't insure it if they thought that the sea levels were going to rise. And they insure it because you can get insurance. Now, hurricanes happen and things like that, to be sure. And if you're on the coast and you get hit by a hurricane, that happens. That's not climate change. That's reality. That's nature. That's what's happening out here. Watch the insurance companies. They're in a very boring industry that all they do is care about statistics and numbers, and they grind on those margins there. They know how many people are supposed to die. And when more people die, they recognize it. And they don't beat around the bush and say, oh, it must be climate change that's killing all these people. No, they say it's the shots. That's what's doing it. And when climate change comes around, everyone says, sea levels are going to rise, everything. And Obama goes and buys the big house in Martha's Vineyard and one in Hawaii. Then you say, well, hey, man, if you're so concerned about climate change, why are you buying a place on the beach? The answer is because he's not concerned about climate change. And do you know why? Because it's a huge scam. And he knows that. And the insurance companies know it as well. And now we know it too. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. The website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.